Let's turn again in God's Word, this time to Deuteronomy chapter 31. We're going to read Deuteronomy 31 and verses 1 through 8, and then we'll read Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9, which is our text for this morning. So, firstly, if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the verses 1 through 8. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. The Lord shall do unto them as he did to Zion and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And let's turn over then to Joshua chapter 1. And these first 9 verses are our text this morning. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And may the Lord bless to us his own holy and inspired word. So those first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. Moses had died, aware that the Lord would not allow him to enter into the promised land of Canaan. Moses' heartfelt prayer for the children of Israel was this, recorded in Numbers 27 that we read. His prayer was, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation which may go out before them and which may go in before them and which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. The care and concern that Moses had exhibited with respect to the children of Israel throughout his life was still evident even as the day of his own death approached. In answer to his prayer, the Lord directed Moses to appoint Joshua to be his successor. In appointing Joshua, Moses spoke these words to him, as recorded in the passage you read in Deuteronomy 31 this morning. He said to him, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Consequently, when the days of mourning for Moses were concluded, the Lord came to Joshua and he spoke to them the very first words of the book of Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Before Joshua and the children of Israel, though, lay a daunting task. A daunting task, firstly, in the crossing of the Jordan, which at that time was in flood, and a daunting task also of taking possession of the land of Canaan. Camped on the plains of Moab, the children of Israel, of course, could easily see the land of Canaan on the other side of the Jordan. 40 years earlier, you might recall, the children of Israel had actually melted with fear when the Lord had commanded them to go up and to possess the land of Canaan. At that time, the children of Israel refused to obey the command of the Lord. They refused to trust in the Lord. As we're informed, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, they failed to enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And the question that now confronts Joshua was whether this new generation would be, in fact, any different to the one that had died in the wilderness. Would this new generation trust the Lord? Would they trust the promises of God? And furthermore, would they submit to the leadership of Joshua? Confronted with these issues and the uncertainties that came with them, the word of the Lord comes to Joshua. And brethren, these are the words that the Lord, through Jesus Christ, speaks to his church today. They're the words that Jesus Christ actually speaks to you and me this morning as we fulfill or as we pursue our God-given callings. A God-given callings with all their complexities and difficulties. "As I was with Moses," says the Lord, "so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage." And so that's the theme I've given to the sermon this morning: be strong and of good courage. Part of the sermon are these three headings: firstly, the daunting task; secondly, the necessary qualities; and finally, the reassuring promises. From the time that the children of Israel first left Egypt some 40 years earlier, the Lord had established Joshua as the servant of Moses. In a certain sense, Joshua was the right-hand man of Moses. Joshua himself, in fact, was born in Egypt. His name is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus and means literally Jehovah salvation. As the servant of Moses, Joshua participated in all the significant events that surrounded the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. You might recall that it was Joshua who, soon after the children of Israel had entered into the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula, that had led the children of Israel in battle against the Amalekites at Rephidim. You might recall that in that instance, the Amalekites were actually attacking the weak and the feeble among the children of Israel. And it was Joshua that led the army of Israel against the Amalekites. You might also recall that it was Joshua who went up with Moses onto Mount Sinai at the time that Moses received the Ten Commandments. And you might recall that there Joshua actually waited for Moses for some 40 days and 40 nights until Moses returned from communing with the Lord. It was also Joshua who, along with Caleb, spied out the land of Canaan. And it was Joshua who, with Caleb, also brought a positive report about the entrance of the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And so through all the events of his life, the Lord had actually been preparing Joshua for the day when he would be called to lead the children of Israel. And that day had now come. Moses was dead. As we read this morning at Meribah, Moses had failed to fulfill God's instructions to him, his God-given role as the mediator of the covenant. And by his conduct, Moses had failed to point the people to Jesus Christ, the real mediator of the covenant. And so consequently, the Lord had determined that because of his actions there at Meribah, Moses would not lead the children of Israel into Canaan, but that he would actually die outside of the promised land. Moses would not lead the people into Canaan, but that task would actually fall to Joshua. And so having appointed Joshua to be the leader now of the children of Israel, the Lord says to him, "Be strong and of a good courage." This was the Lord's directive and encouragement to Joshua. Indeed, it was the Lord's repeated directive and encouragement to Joshua. Such was the nature of the work and such was the difficulty of the task that lay ahead of Joshua, that the Lord repeated those same words to him on some six occasions as recorded in Scripture. So he doesn't say this just simply once, but he says this to him six times. Be strong and of a good courage. If you wanted to go back into the Scriptures to look at the different passages, you'll find that he says that in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. You find it again in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7. You find it in Deuteronomy 31, 23. And you find it then again three times here in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, verse 7, and also in verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. Finally, this was a word that Joshua needed to hear. It was a word that he needed to have implanted firmly upon his heart and upon his mind. He needed to be encouraged to be strong and very courageous, and he needed to know that the Lord would be with him as he engaged in his calling. The reason that Joshua, of course, needed to be strong and very courageous and to indeed know that the Lord was with him was because of the enormity of the task that the Lord had set before him. What specifically was that task? It's set out for us in the first four verses of our text, where we read, "The Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Then he describes the region that they are to take possession from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Just very briefly, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, the reference there is to the wilderness of Kadesh, which marked the southern border of Canaan. Now, the reference to Lebanon was the region that marked the northern border of Canaan with Syria. The reference there to the great river, the river Euphrates, referred to the eastern extremity of the land of Canaan, and the reference to the Great Sea is to the Mediterranean Sea, which marked the western border of the land of Canaan. So there's a description here of the borders of Canaan, north, south, east, and west. Furthermore, the reference there to all the land of the Hittites, there's a reference to the Hittites as the inhabitants, or one of the inhabitants, of the land of Canaan. In fact, the Hittites were one of seven tribes that actually inhabited the land of Canaan. They were certainly a formidable and warlike people, and they're used here as representative of all of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And so Joshua is called upon to lead the children of Israel over the flood of Jordan and to take possession of the entire land of Canaan. It should be appreciated that the task that the Lord assigned to Joshua was an extremely difficult one, if not, one might even say, a seemingly impossible task. Indeed, the task was so great that we learn from our text that Joshua actually feared his ability to fulfill the assignment that the Lord had given to him. It seems as though the assignment raised question marks in Joshua's mind as to whether he was actually fully equipped to undertake the task. And Joshua's fear perhaps also stemmed from the unknown, those things over which he had no control, and there are many of those things that he would encounter in subsequent years. That Joshua was fearful, or prone, at least prone to fear, is made plain by what the Lord says to him in verse 9 of our text. There we read, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage?" Notice this, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The enormity of what Joshua was appointed by the Lord to do suggested that there was a very real prospect that he might be overcome with fear and discouragement as he engaged in this work. You might say, well, why was that? He had all these promises of God to him. You ought to remember that Joshua was taking the place of Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the man that had led the children of Israel for the last 40 years. Moses, the friend of God. Moses, the man with whom the Lord spoke face to face, even as a man speaks unto his friend. Moses, who is referenced in the very last part of the book of Deuteronomy in these terms, Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. This is really the Lord's description of Moses. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs, the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and all that mighty hand and all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel." Joshua was being called to replace the man who had led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and had brought them to the very doorstep of the land of Canaan. You might recall also that Moses, of course, was the only leader that those camped there on the plains of Moab had ever known. And though at times Moses had been despised and rejected by the people, nonetheless, the truth was that overall he was actually revered by the children of Israel. And furthermore, Moses was a man of impeccable spiritual qualities, a man distinguished by his meekness and his patience. Moses, who also, of course, was the mediator who had consistently stood between the sinful children of Israel and the righteous and holy God, a man who actually enjoyed personally a direct communion with the Lord. And under him, the children of Israel had actually achieved truly outstanding things. They had overcome the Egyptians. They had defeated the Amalekites. They had attained victory over the Amorites, and particularly the kings Zion and Og. And it was Moses, of course, who had led the children of Israel through the wilderness. It was Moses also who had brought the children there to the eastern shore of the Jordan River, and in the process had given them victory over the Midianites. And so there was victory after victory that Moses had accomplished in those 40 years in which he had led the children of Israel. Now Joshua is called by the Lord to take his place. And so it's not surprising, it would not be surprising, if Joshua undertook this task with some measure of trepidation and fear. Could he measure up to a man such as Moses? And no doubt as he considered that, Joshua would have been acutely aware of his own inadequacies and shortcomings. Furthermore, note that the Lord's commission to Joshua was, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Joshua was called to do what Moses, in fact, had not been able to do, namely to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. And furthermore, he was being called upon also to divide an inheritance to the children of Israel. He was called also to observe the law before the children of Israel. He was to be an example before them. And so all these things would have weighed on Joshua as he is contemplating the task that he is being assigned by the Lord. One should remember that as he takes on this task, the children of Israel were not necessarily an easy people. Joshua himself had experienced that during the course of his time with Moses. Now, the truth was that the children of Israel had demonstrated time and time again that they were a disobedient and rebellious people. And even the new generation that had taken the place of the generation that had perished in the wilderness had also shown themselves to be little better than the earlier generation. They too were a people who groaned and complained about the circumstances of their life. And as I say, Joshua had really experienced these things firsthand. He witnessed the incessant complaints directed at Moses and Aaron. He'd seen the open acts of defiance and rebellion that the people had manifested toward Moses. He'd been there when Korah, Dathan and Abiram had rebelled against Moses. He'd experienced the fickle nature of the people and seen how quickly they'd turned against Moses when he did those things which they did not approve of. Bear in mind too, brethren, at this time the children of Israel numbered something in the order of 2 million people. So here we have Joshua being called to lead a congregation, not a congregation of 200, not a congregation of 500, but a congregation of some 2 million, 2 million souls. But still, that does not exhaust the daunting nature of what the Lord actually required of Joshua. He's to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. It should be remembered that the land of Canaan at this time was not uninhabited territory. It was not as though all the children of Israel had to do was to cross the Jordan and then to simply take possession of the land of Canaan. Canaan was occupied. It was occupied by hostile and battle-hardened Canaanites. And Joshua was actually familiar, of course, with those Canaanites because he'd encountered them some 40 years earlier when he, together with Caleb and the other spies, had spied out the land of Canaan. And so Joshua was familiar with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. He knew that the Canaanites were, in fact, formidable enemies. He knew that Canaan would not be taken without a struggle. As Joshua would have looked at the situation, as he weighed up the situation, humanly speaking, the task would have seemed perhaps to him almost impossible. Canaan, a land occupied by the Canaanites, a land occupied by the sons, in fact, of Anakim, the giants, mighty warriors, cities that were fortified, cities like Jericho, walled cities, virtually impregnable. Undoubtedly, the task that confronted Joshua was daunting. But it should also be appreciated that Joshua is not the only one to whom the Lord assigns daunting tasks. You know, the truth is, brethren, the Lord assigns to each and every one of us daunting tasks. He calls us to live in the midst of a hostile world as the children of God. He calls us to live as Christians in the midst of a hostile world. It calls each of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to be engaged in the work of the kingdom. Just reflect for a moment on what the Lord calls you to do. Perhaps you're called to an office in the church. And office bearers in the church are called to specific work and labour. And that work and labour at times is not easy. It's not a work that we perhaps always wish to do or like to do or find easy to do. Or perhaps your calling is the calling of a husband, the calling of a father. Or your calling may be that of a wife or a mother. That's not easy work. That's consistent work. In many instances, it's a lifelong work. Or perhaps our calling is that of a son or a daughter. Or perhaps our calling is that of a grandparent. Or it's of being simply a Christian, of a fellow believer, of a Christian friend. But then all of us, in different ways and in different circumstances, are called by the Lord to engage in the work of the kingdom, just as Joshua was called to lead the children of Israel. That was his task, that was his commission, that was his calling. We each have a calling in this world. And in many instances, that's not an easy calling. There are things that confront us, things that we encounter, that we find difficult, daunting. Perhaps we even look at the situation and we think to ourselves, like, I just can't do this. It's beyond me. It's too hard. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the abilities to accomplish these things. And so, like Joshua, we are confronted by anxiety and perhaps even fear. Fear of our ability to do what's required of us, fear of the unknown or of those things over which we actually have little or no control, fear of others. You know, brethren, it's not a simple thing to serve the Lord. It requires dedication, it requires commitment, and at times the task seems beyond us. The truth is, the enemies that we confront are formidable. One only needs to remind oneself of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he says, but we wrestle, in fact, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it comes really as no surprise, in the light of the task that was set before Joshua, that the Lord says to him, be strong and of a good courage. The truth is, brethren, he says that to you and me this morning as well. Be strong and of a good courage. In order to undertake the work that the Lord had assigned to Joshua, he required strength and courage. The same, brethren, is true for you and me. Strength here refers not to physical strength, but to a strength of mind and inner resolve. And good courage here refers to a boldness and resoluteness in the face of adversity. You might put it, the ability to persevere in the face of trials. We need both of those things. We need strength. That is, we need strength in our hearts and our minds and inner resolve. And we also need that boldness and resoluteness to face the different things that come across our path. Without those two qualities of heart and mind, Joshua would not have been able to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the promised land, nor would he have been able to secure victory over the Canaanites. So therefore the Lord exhorts him, be strong and of a good courage. But what did that mean? What did that entail? Were these qualities that Joshua had to develop or cultivate within himself? Are these qualities that you and I need to cultivate and to engender within ourselves? Have we the ability to engender within ourselves that strength and that courage that we stand in need of? And the answer is no. That's not what the Lord is calling Joshua to do. He's not calling Joshua to develop those qualities within himself. It's not possible for Joshua to develop those qualities within himself. They're spiritual qualities. We can't develop those qualities within ourselves because we don't have the capacity to develop those things within ourselves. What does the Lord mean, though, when he says, be strong and of a good courage? This was a call to faith. The Lord was actually calling upon Joshua to trust in him. He was saying to Joshua, Joshua, don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own strength and your own courage. Your own strength and your own courage will not suffice. The task is too great. You don't possess the necessary strength and courage. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in me. Look to me. The strength and courage required for what Joshua was called to do was only to be found in the Lord. The same, brethren, holds true for us. The strength and courage that we need to engage in the Christian life, to serve in the kingdom, is the strength and courage that's not found in ourselves. It's the strength and courage that can only come to us from the Lord. Apart from the Lord, the task of leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan was beyond Joshua. As gifted and as talented as Joshua actually was, the task was actually beyond him. The Canaanites were strong. In many respects, the children of Israel were not really equipped for battle. The cities in Canaan were walled. The children of Israel were not able to conquer those cities in their own strength. That becomes very evident, doesn't it, in the case of the city of Jericho. Joshua would not be able to accomplish the task in his own strength and courage. So here at the very outset of his leadership, the Lord says to him, trust in me. Trust in me. Find your strength and your courage in me. And brethren, as I say, the same calling comes to you and me today as we seek to fulfill the task that the Lord sets before us. He says to us this morning, be strong and of a good courage. Trust in me. Look to me. Look to Jesus Christ. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own strength and your own courage. It's not going to suffice. Task is too great. Look to me. Look to Jesus Christ. And therein, brethren, we will find the strength and courage that we need. We'll find that inner spiritual strength, that inner resolve, that courage, that perseverance that we need in order that we might accomplish the things that the Lord sets for us. That's true, for example, for office bearers in the church. Office bearers in the church, as they encounter all the range of things that come their way, need to look to the Lord. Husbands, fathers need to look to the Lord. Mothers, wives need to look to the Lord. As Christians, brethren, we need to look to the Lord. How is Joshua to access that strength and courage? It's worth noting what the Lord says to him in verses 7 and 8 of our text. As there we read, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Joshua is to access, or to access, the necessary strength and courage by meditating upon the book of the law. And he's to do that day and night. In other words, he was to live out of the Word of God. His strength and courage was actually to be sourced in the Word of God. The book of the law here refers to the Pentateuch, to the first five books of the Bible, to the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In those books lay the strength and the courage that Joshua needed in order that he might engage in the task that the Lord has assigned to him. And if you're familiar with those books, you'll know that those books contained in seed form the whole gospel of salvation. They revealed man's depravity. They pointed to the remedy in the Christ to come. They pointed to the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. In those first five books of the Old Testament scriptures, there is set forth the salvation and victory that comes in and through Jesus Christ. And so note that with respect to that book of the law, Joshua was to meditate therein day and night. And furthermore, we're told that that book of the law was not to depart out of his mouth. In other words, he was required to speak the contents of that book of the law. He was to teach it to others. And finally, we're told here that he was also to obey that word of God himself, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Joshua is to set the example. He must not only know the word of God, he must not only teach the word of God, but he must live out that word of God. And that way, the way of meditating upon God's word and living out of the word, Joshua, we are told here, would have success. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." It is in the way of the meditation upon the word of God. It is in the way of obedience to that word of God. It is in the way of living out of that word of God that Joshua would actually know the blessing of God, and he would have that strength and that courage that he needed. Brethren, the word of God is also our source of strength and courage. That might seem trite to sort of say that. The Word of God is the source of our strength and courage. But it's true. It's as we will spend time in the Word, as we'll think about what we read in the Scriptures, as we'll seek by God's grace to take those things to heart. It's there and through that means that we'll actually find strength and courage. You might wonder sometimes why you struggle in the Christian life, why things seem so difficult. You wonder how you can move forward. One of the reasons, brethren, is because we don't spend sufficient time in meditating upon the Word of God. We don't actually draw our strength and courage from that Word, and indeed, as a consequence, we actually don't live out of that Word. Brethren, draw near to God. Spend time in His Word. Meditate upon His Word. It's one thing to read the Word, isn't it? And perhaps we all do that. Hopefully we do that. But it's another thing to meditate upon the Word. Meditation requires, of course, contemplation, thought, a mulling over of things in our minds. Meditation actually takes time. We can read the Scriptures. If that's all we do, we are unlikely to profit greatly from the Word. Life's busy. Time is precious. And that's one of the things that the world has done to believers today. It's put them in a position where it's robbed them of time. We're time poor. As a consequence, we actually spend very little time in meditating upon the Word of God. And then finally this morning, note the reassuring promises the Lord gave to Joshua. Verse 3. He says to him, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Verse 4. He says to him, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of the life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and nor will I forsake thee." Verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Notice this: "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What extraordinary promises. What encouragement to Joshua as he comes to take up the leadership of the children of Israel. As Joshua looked ahead of him, no doubt there would have been many things that would have caused him a measure of trepidation and fear. There's many things that were unknown. And from a human perspective, the task no doubt seemed almost impossible to him. But the Lord here assures Joshua that he will be with him. He will not fail him. He calls him to the work. He equips him for the work. And the Lord here assures him that in all the instances and circumstances of his life, he would be there for him. Should Joshua have believed those promises? Should he actually have drawn comfort from such promises? Could the Lord's word be trusted? Was it true that as he had been with Moses, so he would be with him? Was it true that the Lord would not fail him and that the Lord would not forsake him? Could he rely on those promises? Can we rely on those promises as we engage in the work that the Lord sets for us? We do well to remind ourselves of what we read in Numbers 23:19. There we read, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Brethren, the promises of God are sure and amen. Absolutely certain. The Lord's promises to Joshua were sure and certain. And the Lord's promises to you and me are also sure and certain. Brother, just reflect for a moment on the reassuring promises that the Lord gives, in fact, to every believer. Not only do we have the promises that are set forth here in Joshua chapter 1, but just think of some of the other promises that God actually makes to his people. This is just a selection. Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13. There the Lord says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Well, those well-known words in Isaiah 43, and verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Or perhaps those words in that well-known psalm, Psalm 121, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Well, think of those promises that you find not just simply in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. John 11, 25, 26. Jesus there says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Or John 14, 1 and 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Brethren, are those promises of God sure and amen? Are they sure and certain? Are the promises of God to Joshua sure and certain? Yes, they were. The promises of God's of the Word of God are real. And by God's grace, those promises belong to you and to me. So, brethren, as you engage in the Christian life, as you go about your work, as Joshua was going about his work, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Let's stand for a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, the things that you set before us at times are daunting. It may be that our calling is not, indeed it's not the same as the calling of Joshua. And perhaps the responsibilities that you place upon us are not of the same size and difficulty as those that were placed upon Joshua. But nonetheless, all of us need your help and assistance. We need to be those who are strong and very courageous. We do battle against genuine enemies, enemies that are opposed to all that is good and all that is spiritual. And so there is that struggle that we encounter every day as we live in the midst of this world. And we encounter that struggle in every area of our lives as well. Whether we be young or old, that struggle goes on. And so our prayer is, Lord, that you might draw near to us. You might take us to thy word. You might open that word to us. You might assure us of the promises of thy word and make those promises real to us. And by your Spirit, enable us to drink in those promises and to live out of them. These things we pray for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.